Welcome to the deep dive. We sift through sources to pull out the key knowledge for you. Today, we're getting into something pretty universal, betrayal. We all know that feeling, right? A friend lifts you down, maybe infidelity, that sharp sting. It's deeply personal. But our mission here is to look beyond just that personal hurt. We're using insights from faith, betrayal, and resilience, integrative healing and growth, to unpack how betrayal works on a much bigger scale. We want to explore how trust breaks down in, say, institutions, across society, even with our spiritual beliefs, and what that means for our sense of security, you know. Think of this as your shortcut to understanding a really complex human challenge, one that probably touches your life or someone you know in ways you maybe haven't considered. So let's start peeling back those layers.
Yeah, it's fascinating how the book immediately pushes us past that common view. You know, you hear betrayal and your mind jumps straight to the interpersonal stuff. An affair, a friend lying, a promise broken. And those are, I mean, incredibly painful, no doubt about it.
That's the gut reaction, isn't it? The immediate wound. But this source says, hold on, to really get it, we need a bigger lens. It argues betrayal isn't just between people. It extends to, well, huge systems, institutions. Even our idea of the divine.
That's the real core insight here. It emphasizes these aren't just about feeling unsafe personally. They call them seismic shifts that challenge our fundamental beliefs about the world, about our place in it. It's when the ground beneath our feet, the trust we placed in these big systems, just gives way. It's deeply disorienting.
And the examples they give are so potent, like institutional betrayal when the sanctuary crumbles. Imagine someone deeply involved in their religious community for years. It's their solace, their meaning, their spiritual home.
Exactly. And then, boom, news breaks. Systemic abuse, cover-ups, maybe financial wrongdoing, leaders just failing to be accountable. The book is really clear. This isn't just disappointment. It's described as a shattering of the perceived sanctity and safety of a spiritual home. The faith they had tied up in the institution's integrity, it's just fundamentally shaken.
That bedrock just feels unstable, doesn't it? You can almost feel how a place of comfort becomes this source of incredible pain and confusion. And for you listening, think about that. When a place you trusted for guidance turns into something compromised, the source notes, it can lead to really deep questioning, not just of the people involved, but maybe even of God's presence or divine justice itself. That's a heavy thing to carry.
It really is. And it raises this huge question, where do you turn then? If your spiritual safe haven is gone, your whole worldview, built on the idea that this place, these leaders, were good, it's all thrown into chaos. It's a massive crisis of meaning.
And it doesn't stop there. The book takes it wider to societal betrayal. Like when the social contract feels totally broken, we put a lot of trust in our governments, right?
Yeah.
Systems meant to protect us, serve us.
Right. And when you see evidence of widespread corruption or deep systemic injustice or just of failure to protect basic rights, it feels like a massive betrayal. The text calls it the social contract, perceived as violated. For people who really believed in the system and the rule of law, seeing that can be incredibly disorienting. Like the rules just don't apply anymore.
And the fallout is huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just one person feeling let down. You see widespread cynicism creep in, people withdrawing from voting or community stuff, this deep anger bubbling up. And that phrase, a sense of vulnerability that permeates all aspects of life, that really hit me. It challenges this basic idea that the world is fundamentally fair, leaves you feeling kind of adrift.
And think about what that means zoomed out. The very structures meant to provide order and safety, suddenly they seem unreliable. That fundamentally changes how people engage with society, doesn't it? It erodes that basic civic trust we need for things to work, makes collective action so much harder.
Then there's the third layer, spiritual disillusionment. A crisis of faith. This isn't always about an institution or a person directly failing you. It's when your deeply held beliefs about God or the universe or whatever you hold sacred seem to clash hard with reality, with suffering.
Exactly. Think about someone praying intensely for healing and it doesn't come, or witnessing just immense, seemingly meaningless suffering in the world. It can feel like a spiritual betrayal. The key thing here, the book notes, isn't always rejecting faith altogether. It's more like a crisis of faith, a deep questioning of the nature of God, the meaning of it all, whether their spiritual practices even work.
And that kind of disorientation must be agonizing. It hits right at your core existential framework, the comfort you found in those beliefs. It can get replaced by doubt, maybe anger, this feeling of being abandoned or even tricked by the divine. It really expands what we mean by betrayal, doesn't it? Right into the deepest parts of who we are. Okay, so moving on, this next part really clarifies the sheer impact of all this. The book introduces betrayal trauma theory. It says betrayal isn't just a one-off event. It's a process that can fundamentally alter how individuals perceive themselves, others, and the world.
Yeah, that's a really important concept. The theory explains the sort of psychological cascade. When trust is broken, especially by someone or something you depend on, a partner, a parent, an institution, it can trigger a whole range of responses. You might develop this constant sense of being unsafe. It makes forming new bonds really hard. And sometimes, especially in situations of high dependency, people might even suppress their awareness of the betrayal just to keep the relationship going. That leads to really complex, long-term psychological issues.
So you're talking hypervigilance, maybe anxiety, even PTSD-like symptoms? The world just stops feeling predictable or safe. It becomes, as the book says, a place of constant threat and uncertainty. That's a huge shift in how you see everything.
It really is. It's a fundamental recalibration. Your internal compass, which kind of relied on others and systems being basically trustworthy, it gets completely thrown off. It's not just about feeling hurt. It's a deep internal shift in how you experience safety and reality itself.
The book lays out this whole spectrum of examples, which really helps illustrate how varied betrayal can be. You know, the personal one. A spouse finds out about an affair. That hits self-worth, trust, the whole future vision. Intense pain, difficulty trusting again. We get that one pretty easily.
Right. But then it extends. Think professionally. Someone loyal to a company for years, suddenly laid off during good times, no real reason, maybe no severance. That's a betrayal that can trigger feelings of worthlessness, anger, a deep distrust of corporate promises. It hits your sense of value, your stability.
And even wider, community betrayal. The source mentions a beloved local leader, seen as totally upright, caught embezzling funds, money meant for schools, roads. The book points out it's not just the financial hit, it erodes faith in leadership, in the whole democratic process maybe. It can fracture a community's sense of purpose.
Oh, absolutely. The ripple effect there is massive. Kids might get a worse education, public services decline, and everyone who believed in that leader, they're left questioning their own judgment, the system. It's a deep wound for the whole community.
Then you have the really big stuff, societal and corporate betrayal, like those scandals, pharma companies pushing unsafe drugs, corporations covering up environmental disasters.
Mm.
This feels particularly insidious because it violates this implicit trust we have that, well, companies won't actively harm us for profit.
And the disillusionment spreads, doesn't it? You start questioning the regulators, the government bodies supposed to be watching them. It shifts betrayal from just a personal injury to a kind of societal sickness. It changes how you interact with everything, what you buy, who you trust, how you engage politically, raises huge questions about accountability.
You know, one point that stood out was about subtler betrayals, like gaslighting in a family, where someone systematically manipulates you into doubting your own reality, your sanity. It's so damaging because it chips away at your trust in yourself, causes confusion, isolation. Often you don't even realize what's happening for a long time.
And the common thread through all of these, whether it's huge and public or quiet and personal, is this pervasive sense of insecurity and disorientation. The world just doesn't feel predictable anymore. Your core beliefs about fairness, justice, people's basic goodness, the reliability of things, they all get shaken.
So what's the end result of all that? A deep sense of loneliness, maybe.
Yeah.
Even if you're surrounded by people. Because that ability to genuinely connect, to rely on others, it's been damaged.
Exactly. Your internal landscape shifts. It creates fertile ground for anxiety, depression, this constant feeling of being unsafe. It's a really comprehensive picture of just how deep and wide the impact of broken trust can go.
Okay, so if betrayal hits this hard, this widely, what can we actually do? The book, Faith, Betrayal, and Resilience, offers something really constructive here, an integrated approach to healing. The main idea seems to be bridging the gap, you know, between spiritual ways of coping and modern psychological strategies.
That's absolutely key. It's described as a holistic approach that honors both the deeply personal and the universally shared dimensions. It suggests that actually faith traditions and psychology aren't enemies here. They can work together really powerfully for healing.
It looks at theological wisdom, right? How faith traditions, especially the Judeo-Christian one mentioned, have long offered ways to navigate loss and betrayal. It even brings up stories like Job lamenting or Jesus' disciples scattering after his arrest as models of, like, honestly grappling with suffering, not just pretending it's okay.
Yes, and it highlights specific theological concepts as tools. like covenant thinking about sacred promises and the pain when they're broken, or providence, the idea of divine care and how that feels shattered by betrayal or suffering, theodicy, trying to make sense of suffering alongside a good God, and lament, which is presented as this vital, honest way to cry out in pain and anger to the divine without necessarily losing faith. The book shows how these aren't just abstract ideas, they become practical frameworks for processing the experience.
And alongside that, it pulls in insights from psychology, attachment theory, the betrayal trauma theory we discussed, resilience research. It's blending the best of both.
Precisely. And that translates into practical, actionable strategies, things you can actually do. For example, it really clarifies the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, which is huge. Forgiveness is presented as this internal process, something you do for yourself, letting go of resentment. It's always possible, always empowering. But reconciliation, that's about rebuilding trust. And it takes two. It needs accountability, change behavior. It's not always possible or even wise. Understanding that distinction is crucial. The book also apparently includes things like guided exercises for lament, ways to figure out healthy boundaries, and help developing your own resilience plan.
So the goal isn't just survival. The book aims to move beyond simply surviving betrayal towards a transformative process of healing, renewed trust, and profound personal and communal growth. It sounds like it's not offering easy answers, but maybe a compass and a map for that really difficult journey.
That's a great way to put it. And ultimately, it sends a message of hope, I think. Hope found not in somehow avoiding betrayal, because let's face it, it's part of life, but in having robust ways to process it, learn from it, and actually grow through it using both spiritual and psychological tools, a truly holistic recovery.
And that brings us towards the end of this deep dive. We've really broadened our view of betrayal, haven't we?
Yeah.
Moving from just personal hurt to seeing it in institutions, society, even our spiritual lives. We've touched on the deep impact of betrayal trauma, how it can really change our worldview. But importantly, we've also seen there are integrated ways forward. Frameworks for healing that combine wisdom traditions and modern psychology.
Yeah, the sheer scope of how trust can break and how much it affects us, it's sobering. But the source material really underscores that while these experiences are incredibly painful, there are paths toward not just getting by, but genuinely healing and maybe even becoming stronger.
So, thinking about all this, what does it mean for you listening? As you consider these broader kinds of betrayal, maybe it's a leader letting people down, a system feeling broken, or even a personal crisis of faith. What subtle erosions of trust might you be noticing in your community, at work, maybe even inside yourself? And how might an integrated approach, one that draws on both spiritual and psychological resources, help guide your response? Something to think about. We encourage you to consider how understanding these wider forms of betrayal might inform your own journey or how you support others going through it. The deep dive really continues in your own reflection.